Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm your host, Tiggy, and I am here with your Brazil Grand Prix recap. Wow, what a weekend. We knew going into this race, it was going to be telling for the championship, given how many points were on the table with the sprint. And it did not disappoint. We have some answers, but we obviously don't have all the answers. There are still three races left to go, but Lando Norris did everything that he possibly could and everything he needed to, sweeping practice, sprint pole, the sprint, race pole, and the race. And so perfect weekend from him. But we also saw some big steps forward from Max Verstappen starting in the pit lane. And then, of course, Oscar Piastri, we'll talk about him as well. But Interlagos never disappoints. It continues its streak of giving us just the absolute most. And there's so much I'm excited to talk about. Before we dive in, just some news and then also just a quick shout out. I think I mentioned on a previous podcast, I've started a Substack on the business of F1, and I put out a piece this week on team principles and sort of how the fact that Formula One has changed since Liberty's acquisition of the sport, which has essentially turned it into a public company, how that's reflected in the team principal role, because we've seen in this season alone, five teams have had team principals change seats. That is half the grid. And that's more turnover percentage-wise than we see with drivers. And so the title of the piece is Formula One's Most Cutthroat Job Isn't in the Cockpit, because it really gets at sort of A, why this is happening with team principals, and B, how the profile of team principal has changed throughout history. They used to largely be entrepreneurs, and then it sort of professionalized, but not to the level we see today. And sort of, it's a discussion about all of that. So I'll put the link in the description to that. It's been so fun seeing a lot of you subscribe and read and send DMs and comments about it. So please keep it up and let me know if there are any topics you want me to talk about. So before diving into the race, some news. First off, we haven't talked about this on the podcast yet, and it almost feels like old news at this point, but Charles Leclerc is engaged, very exciting to his longtime or several year girlfriend, Alexandra. Very sweet. They had their dog Leo front and center in the proposal. It seems like Charles had gotten some like tag on Leo that said, "Dad wants to marry you." Very cute, very happy for the happy couple, and it makes a lot of sense. And I loved in one of the pre-race press conferences, Charles was asked who he thought was next, and Charles said Pierre. So maybe that was an easy answer because Pierre was sitting right next to him. But anyway, I think this is the first Formula One engagement / marriage in real time that I have experienced like as a fan since 2020, 2021. I could be wrong about that, but at least it's the only memorable one to me at this stage. So very excited. And I hope we get lots of like royal wedding content, royal F1 wedding content. And I'm excited to see that play out. And I'm just happy for them. So that was that. Biggest piece of news heading into the weekend was that Franco Colapinto's contract has been renewed with Alpine. To me, this makes sense. I think it will be good to see a full season from him, and hopefully the Alpine car next year with the new regulations will be better. He certainly, if I'm being, you know, super honest, I don't think he's had made a big impression on me this season so far, but I do think that he deserves another chance just given the car that he's in, and maybe new regulations will awaken something incredible in him, in the car. Who knows? I will say it wasn't an ideal weekend for him performance-wise coming off that announcement, which is a bit of a bummer. But anyway, I think it was the right move for Alpine. I'm excited that Franco has another shot in the seat, and I hope that the Alpine car is better next season. But that being said, Pierre Gasly did have quite a good weekend, and I will talk about that a little bit later on. So yeah, let's dive into the racing because we have a lot to talk about with the sprint and the race. So for sprint quali, out in SQ1, we had Sainz, Ocon, Tsunoda, Lawson, and Colapinto. That was an unfortunate out for Colapinto just right off the back of that contract renewal. SQ2 was a bit of a mess. So Hamilton, Albon, Gasly, Bortoleto, and Berman were out. It's very sad for the hometown heroes, both Bortoleto and also Hamilton. Let's not forget that he is an honorary Brazilian citizen. And so he had a spin on his last flying lap, and it was just a bummer he was out in SQ2. The highlights were that Hülkenberg and both Aston Martins made it through. And then SQ3, Lando Norris pole. The big excitement was Kimi was on the front row. He was starting P2, and he just loves a sprint quali front row start, which was a little bit of a flashback to Miami. But that was the start of some really good things for Kimi this weekend. And then behind Kimi was Piastri P3, Russell P4, Alonso P5, and Verstappen P6. For the sprint itself, great start from Lando. Max picked up a place from Alonso, and it was really great of Kimi to be able to hold on to second after he didn't get a great launch off the line. There was some early contact between Ollie Berman and Liam Lawson that caused a spin for Ollie, which was a bummer. But the biggest moment, both in the sprint and then also in the championship, was when Piastri went into the wall on lap 6, and then Bortoleto and Colapinto did the same thing literally right after on the same lap. It was slightly wet conditions, and Kimi said on the radio that when Norris hit the curb, it sprayed water on the racing line, which was kind of funny. I don't know if that is really what made it happen or not, but it was slightly wet conditions and bizarre to see three drivers do the exact same mistake on the exact same lap. So that caused a red flag. And then on the restart, Kimi and George were fighting. Max and Alonso were fighting as well. Kimi was actually quite close to Lando on the last couple laps. And I'll get to this when we talk about the race, but Lando, I think, was not super happy, even though he had incredible results all weekend. On paper, he was not super happy about the pace and thought that it should have been a little bit faster and there should have been more of a gap. And then the other just sad thing about the sprint was that Bortoleto hit the wall really hard right at the end. It was a huge accident just generally, but also, of course, in front of his home crowd. He was literally flying through the air. I think it's the worst crash that we have seen in some time. And there were a lot of videos from fans and stuff that showed it in real time that were just honestly like haunting. And if you see the aftermath of that car and how destroyed it was, luckily Bortoleto came on the radio right away and said he was fine and he didn't seem like he was that shaken up about it. But such a tough crash. And then also to have that happen in front of your home crowd for your home race was really sad. Obviously, he had a lot of family and friends and supporters around, and unfortunately, the race did not fare better for him. But yeah, that was the sprint. So great for Lando to pick up a bunch of points there for the championship. And Piastri with that DNF was obviously not good for his championship status. But for quali, for the real race, so this was shocking. Max Verstappen was out in Q1 along with Esteban Ocon, Colapinto, Tsunoda, and Bortoleto. They couldn't get Bortoleto's car out in time. So first of all, like, shout out to these mechanics turning cars around in record time. Pretty incredible. A bummer that they couldn't get Bortoleto's car into quali on time. But yeah, just shout out to these crews because they're really doing the Lord's work in a very short amount of time, especially on these sprint weekends. But the big shock here was Max being out in Q1. He was in the drop zone with one flying lap left. He couldn't beat Hülkenberg's time, which was kind of crazy. I think even the announcers were like, I can't believe we're saying that sentence, or that's not a sentence I thought I would say. But he said he had no grip. He was really not happy with the car. I think they had tried a setup change after the sprint because he wasn't happy with the car during the sprint. And it seemed like that had just made it way worse. And so, unfortunately, that was like he was out on Q1 just by merit. And some crazy stat that the race posted was that the last time both Red Bulls were eliminated in Q1 was 19 years ago in 2006. Absolutely insane. 19 years ago. That's like such a crazy stat. It was also the first time in Max's career that he got knocked out of Q1 without a car malfunction or a crash. So like I said, kind of out in Q1 on merit, which was very bizarre. And obviously, of course, like he wasn't happy with the car and all of that, but I can't believe we witnessed that. And then obviously we'll talk about the turnaround during the race. But yeah, that was a pretty big shock while watching quali. In Q2 out, we had Alonso, Albon, Hamilton, Stroll, and Carlos Sainz. Some great performances from Berman and Gasly to get into Q3. And I'll talk about both of them sort of as we get into the race and stuff, but really great performances from them throughout the weekend. This was another Hamilton Q2 exit. So just a weekend to forget for Ferrari. For Q3, this seemed like it was going to be interesting because Lando had made a mistake. He locked up on his first run. He didn't end up making up for it and got pole. And then following him was Kimi Antonelli, Charles Leclerc, Piastri, Hadjar, Russell, Lawson, and Berman again. But Kimi got front row again, and then great to see Hadjar up there as well. It was really cool to see Lando being able to make a mistake and then bounce back from that. I think he just seems so locked in and so dialed in right now in a way that we didn't maybe see from him in the beginning of the season. And so him being able to just like hook it up when it matters and keep his head down, which I know he said in the post-race interview as well, was just really, really impressive. But to get to the race, so like we just talked about. Max started from the pit lane. He took a new power unit and suspension changes. He was asked in the, like, on his way to the pit lane, I think it was to Chris Medland or one of the interviewers, but he was basically like, yeah, we're hoping to move forward because we can't really move backwards, which was an accurate statement. Ocon also started from the pit lane, but those two, yeah, were starting from the very, very back. It was a mix of softs and mediums in the top 10. McLaren's and Russell were on mediums. Most others were on softs in the top 10. It was mostly a one-stop race, or that was the thought, but some did two stops, including Lando Norris and then also Max because of a puncture. Brazil, actually, which was a cool stat that I heard the announcer say, has the highest average overtakes per race. I think it's something around 44 compared to the usual low 30s. And Interlagos, I mean, that's just another reason to love Brazil. And this race, I'm sure it either exceeded that number or at least matched it because it was kind of crazy. It was a little bit of weird conditions. It was kind of spitting, but we didn't actually end up having much weather at all. So the race sort of went on as normal with dry conditions. It was a clean start, good launch from Lando. Gabriel Bortoleto unfortunately hit the barrier after making contact with Stroll on lap one. That caused a safety car, caused him to DNF. Just really sad to see his family's reaction in the garage there. The other notable thing on the start was that Hamilton quickly went down like five places on the first lap with damage from going into the back of Colapinto. He did get a new front wing, but the floor was damaged, so he was just struggling massively with that car. He said something on the radio at some point of like, mate, I'm going to crash out here. He was oversteering all over the place and then ended up retiring, unfortunately, which, yeah, again, not a good day for Ferrari, not a great weekend for Hamilton. On that safety car restart, there was some chaos. So Piastri made a huge run, got to P2, but along the way, he made contact with Kimi, which then caused a clash with Charles, who lost a wheel, dropped all the way down, and had to retire, which triggered a virtual safety car. And the announcers were sort of arguing at the time of like whether or not that should have been a penalty for Oscar or if that was a racing incident. They seemed to think it was a racing incident. I don't know. For me, I don't disagree with the penalty, actually. Like, Oscar locked up, hit Kimi, which I know they were saying that this it should be judged on the outcome of that. But and Kimi was fine. Again, he got P2 in this race. So obviously, like, that wasn't a race ending or even race destroying incident for him. But who it did destroy was Charles. Which, again, Oscar didn't hit Charles, but Oscar hit Kimi, who hit Charles. So I actually do sort of think, and Oscar was coming from behind, he locked up, it was a mistake, there wasn't enough room there, he wasn't ahead at any apex or anything. So I don't fully disagree with that penalty, and it was obviously a bummer for Oscar, but yeah, it was tough, and I felt really bad for Charles because there was really nothing he could do there. After that, there was a little bit of a battle between the two McLarens because it was Lando and then Oscar, because Piastri had gotten to that P2, even though, of course, he had the 10-second penalty that he was going to have to serve. Piastri was in DRS for like a lap, but Lando just continued to stretch the gap. There was never really a competition, particularly given the Oscar penalty. Oscar wasn't super happy with his strategy. He said something along the lines of, to his engineer, like, I hope you're a bit more optimistic about the strategy than I am, because it isn't looking pretty from my seat. So that was tough. But yeah, I think one of the biggest highlights, as we've alluded to, is just Max on the charge by P13. He was P13 from the pit lane by lap like 14 or 15. And at that point, I was sort of just like, okay, let's see what he can do, because this is already crazy. And I have a sneaking suspicion that he's going to just do one of these classic Max masterclasses, which he did, because pit lane to eventual podium is just crazy. He was even leading the race at one point, starting lap 51 when Lando did his second stop. And GP's radio at this point was funny. He was like, something I didn't think I'd say is that you, Max, are leading the race. And Max was like, not bad. Nobody has ever won a Grand Prix from the pit lane. And that, unfortunately, wasn't a record that was going to be broken today, but just an absolutely crazy performance where Max had nothing to lose. And at the end, he was able to past George, who was having brake issues for that last podium spot and was so close to Kimi, like breathing down his neck for several laps in DRS zone, which Kimi's defense was incredible. And I don't know, I think if there had been like another lap or two, I'm not sure what would have happened, but super happy for Kimi to secure that P2. His radio was very cute. He was like, oh my goodness, that was stressful, which was our radio of the week.
Yeah, not many other highlights. Double Ferrari DNF, Bortoletto also DNF'd. The stewards were very busy this race again. The other penalty we didn't mention was Yuki got a 10-second penalty for causing a collision with Stroll, and then a penalty for not serving the penalty correctly. So all in all, he had 20 seconds of time penalties. And then, yeah, Lando won. He wasn't satisfied with the size of the gap. Like I said, he sounded pretty defeated or even lukewarm on the radio because of that, which I don't know if I'm curious what his true feelings are. I mean, he must be proud of himself or happy with him and the team that he had the perfect weekend on paper, at least. But I could see, and he sort of said this in his post-race interview, I can see why he's a little nervous given how fast Max was able to charge through the field. Like, the fact that Max went from pit lane to podium probably makes Lando think, okay, well, if he's starting P2 or if he's starting P3 behind me, how long is it going to take him to catch me? Like, not very long at all. So yeah, I think that's worthy concerns, and still anything can happen, but Lando, I think, has done what he needs to do at this point to at least have the momentum very much in his favor. So for my MVPs, there are going to be a lot of them. I'm warning you now, because I was watching the race, and I always watch the race and I'm like, oh, who can my MVP be? And I think there were like 5, 6, or 7 people that I thought of throughout this race. And so I just want to talk through some of them, which some are going to be obvious, but some I think deserve the shout out.
Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might not be Ferrari's strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormone levels. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their prebiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating, reduce sugar cravings, help you feel satisfied longer, boost energy, and help stabilize mood swings. Because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire order with code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. The end of F1 season sneaks up fast, and then all of a sudden it's holiday season, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. I really have been using Uncommon Goods for years, and I actually got someone in my life a book full of New York Times covers from their birth year over the years. It's one of the most special, customizable gifts I've ever seen, and that person still talks about it as their favorite gift they've ever received. And Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard Formula One fans and football fans, to foodies, mixologists, avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
So Kimi, obviously, he got a P2 sweep across the weekend. He held off none other than Max Verstappen at the end, who is fighting for a championship, is a four-time world champion. This was also hugely consequential, not just for Kimi and his own career, but for the Constructors' Championship for Mercedes. So they are in P2, but they've been trading places and been very close with Ferrari and Red Bull. And so this was great for Mercedes, both Kimi in P2 and George in P4, to be able to kind of extend a little bit of a lead there. Toto also seemed very happy. I did have to chuckle for when Bono said something on the radio about like being on the charge or like push, or it was something to that effect. And Kimi was like, what do you think I'm doing? And I just love the idea of this sort of sassy teenager talking like that to Bono, who is like one of the most legendary race engineers of all time. But Bono must have been so proud. And I was happy to see Kimi have a little bit of spice, and he crushed it this weekend. So well deserved. Max is another obvious one. I already said all the things I think that are worth saying, except for the fact that this was made all the more impressive by virtue of the fact that Max had to pit early due to a puncture. Like, he was forced onto a two-stopper because of that. I think it was lap 8 or something, because of a puncture he got in that tire. And so the fact that he drove from pit lane to podium but also had a puncture that caused an unforeseen pit stop just makes it even crazier to me. So, well-deserved driver of the day. GOAT status. I don't even know if this GOAT debate is even an alive debate anymore, because it's just, it seems so obvious that he's sort of cemented in that category. But yeah, just another moment of appreciation for the talent that we're seeing at this level in Max Verstappen. Lando Norris, I think, also well deserving of an MVP. I'd also just like to say shout out to the McLaren pit crew, because I think they got a lot of heat for a while, including from myself in the back half of the season, but because they had had so many sort of slower pit stops, particularly with Lando and then another one with Oscar. And it was at these moments that felt very consequential. But this race and recently, like this race in particular, it was 2.2 seconds after 2.2 seconds for both drivers. And so they really seemed to be on it. And I don't know if that means they got their wheel guns fixed or whatever it is, but they deserve the shout out. The other three MVPs, and I know this is a lot, but I really feel like it's worth saying, the Racing Bulls, they crushed it. And there was a lot of excitement at the end of the race that I think we missed a little bit of because of the Kimi and Max battle to the line for P2. But Isaac Hadjar and Liam Lawson really brought it this weekend. There were a lot of memes circling around about how, oh, V-Carb or Racing Bulls is the senior team now, and what's happening to Red Bull, especially after both Yuki and Max were knocked out in Q1 and the Racing Bulls were so far up the field. So I just want to give a shout out to those two drivers, because they didn't have the like star moment that Ollie Berman had last race weekend in P4, or the moment that Kimi had with podium today. But I just think it shouldn't go unnoticed that those two drivers really crushed it this weekend, and I'm happy for them. Similarly for Ollie Berman, he's been so fast all weekend. There were a moment or two of bad luck for him, but overall he just is really finding his stride. And yes, it seems like the Haas upgrades have worked and the changes that they've made to the car have been really great for Ollie, but it's not just the car. Like, he's outperforming Ocon. He's doing an incredible job to be able to get P4 in his highest result last race weekend and then be in the top 10 consistently this weekend, I think was really, really special to see. And I'm excited for what else is to come, and hopefully with an even faster car next year. But yeah, super excited to see the next few races from him as the season gets to a close. And last MVP, I promise I'm done after this, is Pierre Gasly. Incredible overtakes. Just he didn't maybe get as much airtime as he deserved this race, just because there was so much going on and a lot of excitement. But it was so nice to see him fighting back in the midfield after he has sort of been relegated to the back of the grid a lot. I know we talk a lot about Alpine's performance and the car just not being good, and they're often in like P18 and P19 or whatever it is. And so it was really nice to see him find a little bit more of his stride. And yeah, just do well, finish in the points, and hopefully there's more to come there. LVPs, there are several to choose from, but I think I will go with Yuki on this one. I just think a really tough weekend all around, causing a collision with Stroll, not serving a penalty correctly, getting knocked out in Q1, basically having the constructors' tally of points for this season be a single driver Max Verstappen's results. It's so hard to defend that. And I know there's always the refrain of that car is just better suited to Max and is sort of like built around him. And I get that, but it seems so hard to just like say that as an excuse every single time. So anyway, I'm sorry, Yuki, but I do believe you are my LVP for the weekend. And I hope that there are better things coming. So we talked about a lot of the discussion points. I'm not sure there's like that much more to discuss. I think the big question is just around the Drivers' Championship still. Lando has extended his lead, but Max is still very much in the mix. He's only 25 points behind Oscar Piastri, who now Oscar Piastri is 24 points behind Lando. So there's still quite a big gap from Max to Lando that I think will be hard to overcome in the last three races, unless Lando just completely loses it, which doesn't seem likely, at least judging from the past consistency he's been having. But Max is still very much in it. I think it seems likely that he can pass Oscar, if not next race, then maybe race after. I think it's a little bit of a stretch for him to get to Lando, but we shall see. So for the standings, just to put some numbers to this, Lando has 390, Oscar has 366, Max Verstappen 341, George Russell 276, Charles Leclerc 214, Lewis Hamilton 148, Kimi Antonelli 122, Alexander Albon 73, Nico Hülkenberg 43, who is also tied with Isaac at 43. There was some stat that Autosport posted about how Kimi Antonelli with this result has broken the record of number of points for a rookie season, which breaks Lewis Hamilton's record from 2007. And like, as much as I love stats, it's like a kind of tough stat to throw out because the seasons are so different. The number of races are so different. Sprint weekends add a ton of points to the calendar. So I don't think it's like that apples to apples. And I don't say that to diminish Kimi's accomplishments, but I think stats like that can be a little misleading. So if you saw that, and I don't know, just worth thinking about the fact that these two eras are quite different and the calendars are quite different and the points totals are quite different. But not to take away anything from Kimi, I am super stoked that he is back on his form that we were kind of seeing really bright moments of at the beginning of the season and sort of lost it in the middle a little bit, but he seems to be coming back with a vengeance. And I think that's validating for everyone involved. So great stuff. For constructors, McLaren 756, Mercedes 398, Red Bull 366, Ferrari 362, Williams 111, Racing Bulls 82, Aston Martin 72, Haas 70, Kick Sauber 62, and Alpine 22. A couple things to call out here. So obviously Ferrari's double DNF did not do them any favors. They went from P2 in constructors now to P4 just because this Mercedes Red Bull Ferrari battle for P2 is so tight. They are only 4 points behind Red Bull, even with a double DNF. But yeah, every point counts at this stage for those teams. Williams, which has sort of been in no man's land by themselves in fifth, is starting, I think, to feel a little pressure from Racing Bulls. So Williams is at 111 and Racing Bulls is at 82. That's still a bit of a gap, but like a double points finish for Racing Bulls, and if Williams doesn't score points, like that gap starts to close a little bit. So I'm sure Williams is thinking about that and yeah, just trying to get as much performance as they can and as many points as possible. But yeah, with that said, Vegas is next and I will be there. It's a night race. It's such a vibe. This is going to be my third year in a row going to Vegas. Also the third year that they're hosting Vegas. So it's still quite a new race, but I have a lot of exciting stuff planned and I can't wait to share it with you all. So follow along on the podcast, on Instagram or TikTok, Substack. Like I mentioned, there are going to be some fun pieces coming out. And yeah, if there's any content you want to see on any of those channels, please let me know. But super excited for the next race. And I can't believe what a treat this all is to just have such a great, exciting Drivers' Championship and to have a race like Interlagos at this point in the season. I just feel very lucky and very blessed. So chat soon.